Good morning. You are listening to In Conversation with Rashmi, live in studio on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo, bringing you your community stories. Not a friend, she is not a healthcare provider, she is a mother figure to most ancient kind. She is reassuring presence of who will always listen to you, support you in your chosen path. She sees you, the real you. She eases pain with a touch, a word, a look. She is a doula. I'm talking none other than Victoria Nicholas. She helps with birthing families before, during, and after the birth of the baby. She gives the mother and her partner the added comfort, provides individual preparation for your unique childbirth experience, a hands-on support through labor and birth. Victoria Nicholas from Victoria Wellness is here with me live in studio to talk about her journey. And she will also share with you how her difficult life events that began to unravel, she found herself addressing some serious mental health issues and nourishing needs in her life that led her to a profound journey of consciousness where she found herself drawn to birth work, nurturing, and supporting families. I am so excited to have her live in studio here, and she will be on air shortly. Welcome, and thank you so much for being here, Victoria. I am so excited to have you.
Thank you, Rashmi. I'm so, so honored to be here.
And you've had a crazy few weeks, too, with, you know, your different events and stuff, and you still made it in today. Thank you so much. And, before I even want to get into, you know, doula and what it's all about, I'm sure many listeners want to hear that as well. But I want to, you know, kind of go back and even talk about how your journey into being a doula happened and your battle with mental health. Mm-hmm. That is something, you know, not many people come out and talk about. And there's still a lot of stigma around that. So if you can start, you know, sharing your journey from how even you got to being a doula.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll go back. So I'm turning 34. I'll go back the 34 years, the time of my birth. you know, it was a really, really profound journey, sort of intuitively moving into this work. But I sort of have been a doula of many kinds throughout my life. My life experiences, I grew up in a really interesting household where I was sort of the care provider for my parents and for my brother. Mm-hmm. I grew up in an alcoholic, abusive home with mental health issues surrounding me. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you grow up in such a vulnerable place like that, you tap into things that you don't even know you have sometimes.
True.
In order to kind of keep the family unit together.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that journey, it really has allowed me the skill sets to meet people wherever they're at. Because I think in hindsight, you can look back and think, even though it's difficult to grow up, maybe not in a conventional sort of supportive family dynamic, mm-hmm. you can thank the gifts you've learned.
Sure.
And some of those gifts you do learn while growing up in an alcoholic home is you learn vulnerability. You see it often in adults.
Sure.
as well as with the mental health piece, there's nothing that's off the table.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see people in those elements, which after birth, sometimes it isn't a treasure or joyous time. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. there's a lot that comes through.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncomfortable for me to sit in those places.
Okay. Okay. Wow. And did it take you long to kind of transition into, you know, what you wanted to do and how you even wanted to go? Because I think you kind of, with your husband, had planned to join your family business at some point.
Yes.
From the different travels around the world.
Yes, we totally did. I talk, you know, I'm speaking sort of from my experience here, but sometimes we can unconsciously follow a script that's sometimes laid out for us without mm-hmm. even knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those scripts was participating in Sting within a really dysfunctional family setting, mm-hmm. which was a family business.
Mm-hmm.
I also grew up in an entrepreneurial home. Like, my parents were entrepreneurs before it was Instagram cool. Really, that's what I grew up in, on top of the mental health piece and the addiction piece as well. So there was a lot of elements
right.
that I was surrounded with, on top of them being entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
So unconsciously, I think it was always sort of put in my brain that you will come back and sort of be the succession plan mm-hmm. for this family insurance brokerage. It's been in operation for 80 years now.
Oh,
and
wow.
My grandfather owned it. And then my father bought him out.
Wow.
And so it was sort of ingrained in an unconscious way. And my husband and I went back to it. And 6 months before my now husband and I were getting married, my mom, after 32 years of marriage to my dad, decided to divorce him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a really profound, that was sort of the moment of consciousness, but also where my mental health journey comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Because for 32 years, I had thought, okay, I'm back. You know, there's this succession plan happening. Everyone's happy, you know, in quotation marks. I've kept the family together, you know, that was kind of my role
mm-hmm.
amongst all the chaos. And that was really brave, as much as it changed my life path forever. My mom
For sure.
choosing to end and leave mm-hmm. a really destructive, abusive, difficult relationship.
Yeah.
And then I was to be getting married. So wow. during that time period, I had a level of consciousness come through me where I was sort of seeing behaviors that were difficult for me in my family business mm-hmm. along with my father.
Yeah.
And so I had really unraveled, actually, because what was happening was I sought help.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of had to go back to the beginning of where my family of origin started, and there was just so much to unravel.
For sure.
That my mental capacity, I mean, I was at my fittest too. I was always overweight my whole life. I had just lost 150 pounds prior to my wedding. Was
wow.
at the peak health of me.
Mm-hmm.
But there were days I couldn't get out of bed because my whole identity was keeping my family together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's how I identified, you know?
So did you have someone you could talk to about it? Did you reach out? Did you make that effort?
Yes. I was so fortunate in that I received a name of a counselor
mm-hmm.
In Peterborough, where I was living at the time. And I had never been counseled before, which, thinking back with the way I grew up and some of the difficulties I had even learning or things that had happened throughout my childhood, it wasn't really talked about though.
Yes.
Back in the 80s and 90s when I was in school, they mm-hmm. sort of didn't correlate that things might be happening at home to the way people,
For sure.
the way children were learning
mm-hmm.
or the way that things were maybe coming up in different behavioral ways.
Yeah.
Now that's being talked about a lot. More.
Yes.
Which is wonderful, you
yes.
know, for those children. Because you don't know that things are not normal in your home.
Exactly.
That's your normal.
That is your normal. And then you just grow up in that environment thinking, this is my life. This
is how. And I would go to sleepovers and think like, oh, this is different. And you're used to your dysfunction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, in a very unhealthy way when you are growing up in those environments.
Right. So you reached out, you seeked help.
Yes.
And the path to being a different person began. And where did that journey take you?
It did begin. Well, I will preface by saying one of the components for me when seeking help and speaking to my counselor was learning how to set boundaries in my family of origin.
Mm-hmm.
And what ended up unfolding was I had set a boundary where I had asked my father not to walk me down the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point, that was a really defining piece, because he had chosen then, out of anger, to fire my husband and I and evict us from where we were living. We were renting from him. And my parents were getting divorced. So there was a lot of tension.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband and I, newly married, we were well respected in our industry. And I was unraveling at this time as well, seeing all of this and feeling all this behavior. While still speaking to my counselor and working through all of it, got an opportunity here in this region. And before we moved to this region, I had a dream. I know, not that I'm trying to sound cliche, but I had a dream that I was kneeling down on a floor and looking up at a birthing person in a bed. And I didn't understand it. I was so confused. I'm like, no, I work in insurance. Like, this doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't shake the dream. I couldn't shake the dream of me kneeling in the corner, seeing a woman in this bed birthing.
Huh. Wow.
It was really profound. But I was birthing myself at that time too. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I felt unraveled. But yes. So I dreamt about the birth. And then I reached out to an old neighbor who was a midwife out in BC.
Okay.
And I said, hey, Lizzie, I'm thinking about this. She knew what had happened,
okay,
you know, with my whole family dynamic,
and
that we were, you know, leaving that scenario, that unhealthy situation. I'm like, I think I'm going to apply to midwifery school. She's like, don't apply to midwifery school. It's super competitive. She's like, do a doula training first. See if you like being on call.
Okay.
Like, you could not like being on call.
So there's a separate thing called doula training itself.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So it was like, doula. Okay. So we moved to the area and I Googled and there was a local certifying body here in the region. And I signed up.
So what is this doula thing? Honestly, I didn't know what a doula was myself till I met you. And I would love, and I'm sure the listeners would love to hear what a doula is.
Yes,
because there are many kinds of doulas.
So many kinds of doulas.
Which, again, I was not very aware of. But yes, when I looked up, I'm like, this is fascinating. There are birth doulas. There are death doulas, postpartum doulas. Yeah, there are a lot of doulas out there.
And yeah, I think we're all doulas in our own right as humankind, you know, like there's always that element that we were able to show up and support. But it's a really, and I loved how you had called it sort of an ancient form, because doula care is, I mean, it's in our lineage.
Mm-hmm.
If we go back through our ancestral line, I'm sure our ancestors, our great grandmothers would tell us there was that one person in the community that they called on top of a wise elder midwife that attended.
Yes, absolutely.
Home.
And I, growing up back in India, I have seen some of, you know, my aunts who have had my cousins when they were born had help who came in and assisted. And I didn't know that was called a doula. But we knew there would always be that help, you know, when
in different languages and different cultures, they're different words.
Mm-hmm.
I think sort of now we just sort of termed the coin doula, but there was always that sort of that community member that you called on. Mm-hmm. Just like in death, you know, there was the community member, your undertaker, you know, before they were a funeral director, you know, that you called on to bring in in these times of passing.
Yeah.
And birthing.
Yes. So what does your role as a doula, like what does that encompass? Because it's not just during the birth that you are with the birthing mother or the family, but you start off way before even, you know, when they find out they're pregnant, and you continue on even after. So how does that journey unfold? Yes. Yeah,
in so many different ways, because it's unique to every family's needs. So, you know, for instance, I have a family who reaches out to me the time in which they've determined they're carrying life. You know, they'll interview myself, you know, and I always recommend to interview many doulas, because you're inviting somebody into a really sacred, vulnerable time, and you need to feel comfortable.
Absolutely.
With this person you're inviting in to the birthday, the first birthday of this little, this one coming earth side. So it sometimes involves just like texting after routine appointments, or connecting about routine examinations that maybe they want to talk about, know more about, understand the consent, you know, piece to say like, oh, this isn't really jiving with me. I think I'm going to helping bridge and open up conversations with their care providers, because care providers truly are worked to an extent where they can't spend 2.5 hours unlayering and debriefing certain dynamics of care that's given.
So do you as a doula also work with the doctors, the nurses, and, you know, you
and
are
midwives.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, alongside, because the family hires me independently.
Okay.
They hire me independently as a companion, you know, as that companion, as that doula. And so I accompany them into the spaces at the hospital, in their homes, under midwifery care, under OB care, in OR care, you know, working closely with all care providers in the region.
Wow.
Yes.
And that space that you get into their lives, you know, trying to be with the mom, I'm sure the fathers to be also need equal support and care. So how does that play into all of this? Because, you know, everyone's focused on the mom and, you know, how she's doing, how the baby's doing. But I think as dads go through this too in their own different space, so do doulas support the dads as well?
You know what? The for me personally speaking, as a doula, I doula the couple, the partners, because their children need them, but they need to be held. You know, the mother and father, once the little one's born, sometimes get forgotten too. You know, because then it's all about the baby.
Yes.
So it's sort of, as a doula, I kind of bridge that gap and check in, and especially with the partner, because a mother is born in those moments, you know, but so is the partner. And it's equally as emotional, and you've got all the feels, you know, and so they're feeling to be the protector of that space, but just as the doula, checking in and saying, what do you need here? How are you feeling around things transitioning? Sometimes for certain people, emotions can be really uncomfortable. And I totally respect that, and I don't push things. But again, with my life experience, I'm not it's not uncomfortable for me to meet people where they're at.
Absolutely.
You know, emotionally, where they're willing to go, how far they're willing to open up. And if they're not, just to know that I'm a constant, you know, for them in this journey.
For sure.
Of being born as a parent and as a family.
Yeah. So each time you're there when this birth happens, it must be taking a toll on your emotion as well. Like, do you go through that phase, or is it just, okay, this is my job, I'm going to be a doula? Because you make that connection with the family, right? Like, because you've started this journey way back, even before that child is born. So How does those emotions play into, you know, after you've done your bit and then you're like, okay, I'm done. Goodbye. Like, it's a lot of highs and lows there.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I do take an adrenal supplement.
I'm sure you need that.
Yeah, my but you know what's so interesting, and I like I said, when I'm sort of coming full circle here,
mm-hmm.
I've been living the highs and lows my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't know it. I thought everyone's household lived the highs and lows.
Yeah.
Like I was. I invest in my mental health and well-being, which is continuing care with a counselor. Mm-hmm. Sometimes 1 to 2 days a week.
Okay.
Sometimes 3.
Okay.
Depending on where my needs are at. Because sure. Again, if I am not coming from a place of where I am working on my stuff, mm-hmm. I shouldn't be showing up into these places, these sacred places of families being born.
For sure.
So I take it. It is really, really important for me to always be addressing my biases, mm-hmm. always be unlayering my triggers, mm-hmm. and having that counselor and therapist piece, along with the hormonal piece, you know, practitioners in the area, working on my nervous system, and just making sure that I'm doing those things for myself so that I show up and in the best version.
Absolutely.
Of myself for those families. And I mean, I have an amazing, like, my partner is, I get emotional thinking about it. Yeah, like, he doulas me.
Mm-hmm. For sure. You need that support, right? Because you're going through so much yourself, and you need someone you can have those conversations with. And
yes.
You need, it is so important, because I think with mental health, there's a lot of, you know, should I even talk about it? What are people going to judge me? What's the opinion, you know, that people are going to have? So to even come out and talk about it, even to your loved ones, it takes a lot of guts. It, you know, it's a lot of courage that plays into a person's being there.
Yes, and especially it feels vulnerable, because as a doula, people sort of think like there's not a pedestal, but it's like, do you admit that these are things you struggle with internally, mm-hmm. and these are the things you go through? But I think that's what makes, for me, that's what makes me human and Absolutely. Relatable, because I mean, we all are human ultimately. And so I want the families that invite me into these spaces to know I'm doing my work, and that I also bring pieces of myself that are not perfect,
yeah.
that are not together,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, because it's important we all know that.
Yes. And I'm sure being a doula in their space and their home, you witness a lot of emotions that the couple themselves go through during this phase, right? Mm-hmm. So your state and your past, does that kind of tie into understanding those emotions?
Definitely. I mean, that is a gift I received from watching a lot of dynamics between my parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, because being in partnership is difficult, no matter what's being brought into the equation. There are always things that are unraveling inside of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so being able to tune into that and just say, you know, I could be wrong. This is something, you know, maybe you want to talk about. Or are you experiencing these things right now together? How is this going? Bridging that conversation to make it safe,
mm-hmm.
and open to talk about,
sure.
for couples, mm-hmm. as they go through this journey into parenthood.
Yes, that's so true. We are going to take a short break here. I'm in conversation with Victoria Nicholas, and we will be right back.
Thank you.
those of you who have just tuned in, you are listening to In Conversation with Rashmi, live in studio on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Before I have Victoria back here, I just have a few announcements. Next week, Saturday, May the 25th at 9 a.m., I am going to have two special guests in studio, Dana Marie and Andrea Taplin, who will be in conversation with Rashmi. I will be talking to these two wonderful and inspiring guests. Dana believes that music is another language that we can express ourselves, but also learn about ourselves. Music can energize and calm at the same time. Music can help build confidence, creativity, social skills, memory, emotional and physical development, and help with language as well. She has released two full-length independent albums as a Christian pop artist and has traveled across Canada performing and leading worship in many churches. Currently, she's involved at her home church, the Calvary Church in Cambridge, and teaches from her home studio in Kitchener, Ontario. And my second guest, Andrea Taplin, will also be here live in studio on CKMS. She, after 12 years in a toxic workplace, reached a whole new level of unhealthiness. She struggled with weight for a long time and battled mental health, depression, and anxiety for a while. She changed her focus and lifestyle completely to transform herself physically and mentally, and today she feels empowered, strong, more fit and healthy, both physically and mentally. She has learned to push past her comfort zone, and she shares her experience and knowledge by sharing her story with others. In 11 months, she lost over 100 pounds, and it was all through nutrition. So to be inspired and hear this fabulous woman who will share their stories next week, tune in on Saturday, May 25th at 9 a.m. on CKMS 102.7 Radio Waterloo. And if you have a story you want to share, feel free to email onairwithrashmi@gmail.com, or you can also follow me on Facebook In Conversation with Rashmi, or my Instagram feed on CKMS 102.7 or Rash Sanj. And now I'm going to get Victoria back here, and she is also going to share some fascinating facts about before being a bird doula, you have also worked at a funeral home. Now, that is a completely opposite of what a bird doula would be, right?
Well, it was interesting because when I moved to this region, my husband and I were sharing a car, and where we were living, there was a funeral home down the road. I thought, okay, if I could get work in the funeral home, I could, you know, at least walk down. And I was doing my doula training at the time when I applied at the funeral home. And I think that the idea the funeral home liked was that, okay, you're in birth, you know, you can be at end of life as well. There's a lot of similarities between life and death. Yes. You know, it was really a profound journey to get the experience as I was building Victorian Wellness Doula Services to work in funeral services, because I was really supporting families in all phases as they were welcoming and building their families, as well as they were honoring and celebrating the lives of those that had lived. Yes. So it gave me a really, really profound perspective on what we call the cycle of life, truly the cycle of life.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And how long did you do that before you moved into this?
Yes. So I was actually working funeral services, teaching exercise for seniors, and taking on birth families as I was building my business.
Very nice.
Yes.
So where is Victoria Wellness located, and like, do you have a team that work with you?
No, Victorian Wellness Doula Services is just myself. Awesome. However, in this community, I have fantastic doula colleagues. So I work, you know, shoulder to shoulder with really, really wonderful doulas in the area that we all independently own our own businesses as doulas, but we all support and back up for one another and help, you know, bridge those gaps in the event that we take holidays or, you know, take time with our family and sort of have the support.
Yeah, because like often people would ask, right, why would I pay someone like a doula? Why not have an expert in my pregnancy care? So how does community help with being a doula here? That's huge.
It's so huge. I mean, right now families are truly living in isolation as they are starting their families, and it's being felt. I mean, if we think back to the way that we used to be, we all used to live kind of communally together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when people had children, there were elders, there were aunts, there were people always around them to sort of help and support and step in.
Yes.
But we live by ourselves now.
Yes.
We live in isolation. We sometimes don't even live near our families. Some of us don't even have relationships with our families.
Yes.
Sometimes we've moved from another country and access to our family is too far away.
Yes.
So now that this is the way that families are being set up, this ancient form of support is like so needed. It's so needed because nobody should be doing their prenatal, their pregnancy, their birth, their postpartum period alone.
Yeah. Because they go through a lot of emotions during this, you know, this whole phase, the hormones
that
play
into.
Well,
you know, what was it like for you, right? Like, can you think, like...
Yeah, like, for me, for one, it was a journey, you know, of ups and downs with my own pregnancy. But thankfully, I had my mom who came by, and without that support, there's no way, I think. As much as, you know, our spouses are there with us, you need someone who has the experience, who's gone through it, who understands, and it plays
and
a huge part.
Partners are like expected to go back to work after a week or 2 weeks, or they save up their holidays.
Exactly.
And then they're back to work, and they're in the grind, you know? So it's really a tricky phase.
It is.
And, you know, like, it's so interesting. I'm currently reading a book. It's called The Fourth Trimester by Kimberly Ann Johnson. And she speaks about the fact that she actually got pregnant while living in Brazil. She fell in love with a Brazilian island man and had a baby and did her birth and postpartum completely alone and isolated. And it was really difficult. And she's, you know, that's a common story of what people are doing, you know, unless you bridge back. And she talks in the book about all the cultural norms. You know, in India, for instance, you move back in with your mother.
Yes.
In Korea, they have, you know, a specific 30, 40-day lay-in where people bring certain soups each day. In Japan, they have hotels where it's strictly, you know, there's someone around the clock tending to your postpartum needs and baby's needs. Like, these are all culturally just ingrained in their society, but in our society we've sort of become like the bounce back, the better, the quicker, and it's really created a mental health piece and a detriment to families that are thinking, why can't I do this, you know, why am I, you know, still sore, why do I feel grief, why am I feeling alone? Why am I having things, you know, come up for me? Because it's happening in isolation. So as a birth and postpartum doula, I'm somebody that is being hired in, you know, which society is sort of deemed as a luxury. I think, truthfully, I mean, our services should be covered by OHIP, you know, like every family should have access to this support.
Absolutely.
Every family, you know. Yeah. But yes, we're a constant support for all the emotions, all the questions, all the uncertainties, all the love, all the things that come up as you're building a family.
Yeah, and then bringing that community together then with the support system makes a huge difference.
Then, right? I mean, even just knowing, like, I spend my time getting to know what's out in the community, yes. You know, what's really attachment parent friendly, you know, or even just family centered friendly, or, you know, great, great care providers in the area, ways that they're supporting and bridging uncomfortable conversations mm-hmm. around loss mm-hmm. or around, you know, there are many scenarios that can unfold sure. in pregnancy, you know, but.
So at, you know, being a doula, being there during birth, how does one, like, do you have their doctors there? Because if something does go wrong,
right,
how does doula's role play into that? Because, you know, there's a stigma of, I wouldn't call it stigma, but, you know, there are these boundaries where, okay, the doula has a role to play, the doctors have a role to play, the midwives have a role to play. So if something does go wrong, or have you seen anything that's, you know, gone the way it shouldn't be, and where does your role in there come in?
That's a really big loaded question.
It is.
Because there's an element in our world, this isn't a slight on technology, but we've moved in such a direction
mm-hmm.
where there isn't sort of this underlying sort of trust in general around birth. Mm-hmm. 97 to 98% of the population are healthy pregnant people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've got the 2 to 3% that require the medical expertise and attention. Yes.
And I remember in one of our conversation in the past,
yeah,
you had mentioned, and you were so, I felt it was bang on, because a mother would know that something is wrong when something does go wrong, mm-hmm. right? So it's
the mother wit. They speak to you in womb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if there's anything I'm going to bet on in life is the mother wit, that intuition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know. And so what's happening is birthing people are realizing, I know what's right for my baby and I know what's right. They're tapping into it. But we have such a fear-based society and such a technological-based society. Well, I mean, we've lasted this many years
mm-hmm.
without all of it. We've survived.
Yes.
We really have survived. And so, again, where I'm going to come back to is that there are the 2 to 3% where the medical care system are saving lives. But why are we treating the 98% as sick, might fail at this birth process?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the language that's a bit been created. And I think that culture is shifting a little bit. And as a doula, I think it's my responsibility to talk to that and not sort of sugarcoat that.
Mm-hmm.
Because what sometimes I am bridging in the postpartum period is when I haven't been the doula at the birth, but they come out from their care providers or the scenarios that have happened in birth and feel traumatized. Mm-hmm. Because of things that have happened.
Right.
Or the lack of consent, or the lack of sort of listening to this birthing person saying, hey, this something didn't feel
right.
Right.
Yes.
And that isn't a slight on, you know, I'm not sort of picturing that across care providers because it's a difficult position. But mm-hmm. There is an element of humankind and trust in birth.
Absolutely. And I think there's more such conversations need to take place, and, you know, people need to talk about it more.
Yes. And it not be sort of hushed.
Yes.
I think, you know, what happens is, and I don't know if it's the same experience for you, but we sort of grow up. There are certain professions in which you do not sort of you don't sort of speak back against, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes those are teachers, lawyers, doctors, sort of those professions in which you take word.
Yes.
They're telling, you know, they know mm-hmm. no. But ultimately at the end of the day, we all know inside of ourselves.
Yes.
I mean, just even speaking to you in your journey, there were elements and pieces where you just knew.
Yeah.
this is the journey I needed to take in my healing.
Absolutely.
And giving that permission. And there are care providers that know how to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think they're wonderful. Like, yes, you know, they're going to those places and saying, like, this is the information I know, but how are you feeling?
Yes.
What's your gut instinct saying? What's coming up for you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, that's a vast, big pool of conversation that needs to take place at some point. But
like,
yeah.
I know, that's a whole other, I mean, we could do like a whole segment.
True. But one other fascinating thing about you is you are also a placenta specialist. Oh my goodness. Honestly, I've never even heard that before. So, and you make smoothies and capsules with placenta, is that right?
So let me ask you, did you get to see your placenta? Did you get to see
No.
it? You didn't get to see it.
No.
Did you want to?
No. Yeah. I didn't even know you could do something like that, honestly, because again, it's knowledge, right? Like, nobody talks about stuff like that. So what
and
is
you know
this
what?
About?
It mind blows me. How are we not talking about the organ? This self-sustaining life organ that's keeping our babies alive. How is it not the main conversation? You know what I mean? Like, seriously.
Yeah. Like, placenta capsules, placenta smoothies. Oh, my goodness. Like, I was blown even looking at those and what you've been doing.
Yeah, I mean, placentas are beautiful. I mean, literally, they are what oxygenate and keep our babies safe and alive and thriving in utero. The placenta. So the fact that, you know, women just birth them and they're just sort of dissected on or tested or thrown out is sad, you know, because I cherish them. They're really beautiful. They tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of hormonal benefits and richness for some people to choose to consume their placenta in different ways. Mm-hmm. And as the placenta specialist, that is sort of my role in preparing and ensuring it's safe. To consume as I make it into a capsule form. Or for some people, just they will take a piece and add it to the placenta, or add it to their smoothie, sorry, a piece of the placenta to their smoothie.
So,
I mean, actually, you know what's fascinating? We're going to talk, we're all mammals, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we all are. Every mammal out in the wildlife consumes their placenta after it's been birthed in order to detract from prey. Huh. To know that they have just given birth.
Yes.
So again, like, we are mammals, but we are a species that has sort of passed on that piece. Whereas there are people now saying, like, I mean, iron deficiencies, hormonal, you know, the lack of energy in the postpartum period is real for a lot of people, especially now that we have birthing people out in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I mean, back in the day, you had birthing people who were running households, which was a workforce on its own. Yes. But energy levels are low, you know, like, I mean, you're working off of just that go, that mm-hmm. adrenaline. Mm-hmm. So being able to sort of consume back those nutrients can be really beneficial.
Okay.
A lot of, and here's the other thing too, that's really an important piece about the placenta is, an element of your postpartum period, and that placenta plays a vital role in how we move into menopause. And, you know, menopause isn't sort of one of those topics that people are wanting to talk about, but it's real. You know,
you
go from mothering to then facing that premenopausal and then menopausal period.
Sure.
So if you are not caring or cared for yourself in those periods, in that postpartum period, you are just setting yourself up for that premenopausal period to be really, really, really sometimes unbearable for people.
Mm-hmm.
And so those two stages for women really need to be honored and supported.
So do
and nourished.
Women who birth, like, you know, who've had a baby,
yes.
Do most of them, like, do you take a consent before? Like, how does this
yes.
work?
Yes. I mean, there, I have consent forms, of course, and waivers of release. I mean, your body grew your placenta, so you have mm-hmm. the right
to
your placenta.
Yes.
Like, your body grew it.
Exactly, yes.
it's an organ, you know, that you have a right to. So for some birthing people, it's like, this is my right. This is my organ I grew and I'll be taking it home. And for a lot of care providers, that can feel like very odd. But just like in any mainstream medicine, if you choose sometimes an alternative path, it sometimes doesn't feel like the right fit.
Right. Yep.
But again, it's what is the right fit for that birthing person and that family.
Wow.
So they, yeah, so they would take it home or they would sign the release to me and then I would prepare the placenta in different ways depending on how they like it. Or for some people, they just want a placenta print. Which are so beautiful. You know, it's the tree of life.
So it's like an artwork.
Yeah,
and it is the tree of life. It is the painting.
The tree of life, right?
Yes.
So I will do the prints and they'll hang them in the nursery. And, you know, that's what your baby looks at when they're in utero. They're looking at that tree of life side in you.
Wow. That's amazing.
I love, actually, you know what? I just delivered a print and the little one is almost 3 months old. And when I held it up, he almost like he recognized it. Huh.
That's sweet.
It is. It's so beautiful. It like is. They're so wise.
So are there more doulas who are placenta specialists as well? Like, yes. Do you get through special training for this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there are some of us in the area. And you can ask for our credentials. I certified through IPPA. Okay. There are different certifying bodies.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all happy to talk about, you know, the methods and the ways in which we follow certain protocol in preparing.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Thank you, Rashmi. So what do you think? Do you think that you would have consumed your placenta now knowing?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay, you don't but, have to.
Yeah, probably, but, you know, it's the knowledge, right? Like,
having
I had
options.
No. Yes, having that option and someone even mentioning about it. Like, I honestly had no idea you could actually have someone, you know, a doula to begin with and then have someone, a specialist, prepare it in capsule form and the benefit it has. Again, there's not information about it. It's all online these days, but still, you need someone assuring to tell you the same thing, that it's okay.
And I have some families that invest in their capsules, and they'll start taking them. They're like, you know what? I'm just not feeling it. They'll discontinue them. Or I have some women where they notice significantly a drop in their mental health or sometimes their milk supply or their postpartum bleeding, where if they're not taking it, they notice that their body isn't responding the way they'd like.
Oh,
so
wow.
They listen, you know, to themselves.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. It's that internal dialogue.
Well, it was wonderful having you here and hearing your journey, your story, your work that you do with birthing and supporting the families, the husbands, the, you know, the new moms and the mom-to-be. So thank you so much, Victoria, for coming in. It was a pleasure having you here.
Thank you, Rashmi, for holding this space, because when we share our stories, we heal.
We do.
And it's just really wonderful to have this space. And please, you know, in the community, don't feel like you need to be taking this journey alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes,
into
like
parenthood
what would...
and into the postpartum period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reach out to your local doulas. We've got the resources and the support. So you're not alone in this.
So is there a website that people can look you up on?
Yes, I am. You can look me up at victorianwellness.com.
Right.
Or you can find me on Instagram, Victoria Nicholas. I'm Victorian Wellness Doula Services. You know, I'm kind of in and about the region. So reach out.
That's great.
Thank you, Rashmi.
Thank you so much for coming in. It was an absolute pleasure having you here.
Happy long weekend.
Yes, and happy long weekend for those listening in. I'll be right back.
Thank you again, Victoria. And you are listening to In Conversation with Rashmi, live in studio on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo, bringing you your community stories. So tune in next week, Saturday, May the 25th at 9 a.m. I'll have two wonderful guests, Dana Marie and Andrea Taplin, in conversation with Rashmi. I will be talking to these two wonderful and inspiring guests. Dana, she runs her own music studio from her home, and she believes that music is another language that we can express ourselves, but also learn about ourselves. Music can energize and calm at the same time. It can help build confidence, creativity, social skills, memory, emotional and physical development, and language as well. She has released two full-length independent albums as a Christian pop artist and has traveled across Canada performing and leading worship at many churches. Currently, she is involved at her home church, the Calvary Church in Cambridge, and teaches from her home studio in Kitchener. And my second guest, Andrea Taplin, after 12 years in a toxic workplace, reached a whole new level of unhealthiness. She struggled with mental health, depression, anxiety, and with her own weight for a while. In 11 months, she lost over 100 pounds and 90% through nutrition itself. She changed her focus and lifestyle completely to transform herself physically and mentally. And today, she feels completely empowered, strong, more fit, healthy, both physical and mentally. And she has learned to push past her comfort zone and shares her experience and knowledge by sharing her story with others in the community and online on her own webpage. So to hear these fabulous women, tune in next week on CKMS 102.7 Radio Waterloo. And you can also listen live online on radiowaterloo.ca. And if you have a story or want to share it, you can email me on air with Rashmi at gmail.com or follow me on Facebook In Conversation with Rashmi or on my Instagram feed, Rash Sanj, or at CKMS 102.7. Until then, have a wonderful long weekend, and thank you so much for listening In Conversation with Rashmi.